almost coming to a close on our teachings on My Quiet Time and I. So we are going to continue on the same subject matter. And I trust that you guys are having an effective quiet time. We're just going to continue with something I wanted to point out to. And we are going to look at quite a number that communicates a certain kind of a shallowness. And so how that the quiet time is going to help overcome these, you know, shallow attitudes of being a Christian. Colossians 3:16 makes us understand that we should let the word of God deal or dwell in us richly in all wisdom. So the emphasis is richly, right? It's richly. How many of us know rich foods? You see, even normal gari, you see, when it's being prepared, it can be classified as either rich or not rich. So with very rich gari, I mean, now when you finish eating, you'll be tempted to sleep wherever you ate it. Right? So there is a lot of milk, even some with the additions of milk still add nido, you know, because the nido makes it more creamy, the milk makes it more milky. See, there's a difference between creamy and milky. Those whose mouths are sweet, they can differentiate the two. So the one is creamy. And then they like also some dry granite with cold water. You see, you're raising the standards. And then some go to the extreme of adding Milo or cornflakes. And then when you taste the guy, you know that no, the person didn't come to play. So that's richly. Then there is another that when we were in school, they used to call rock pocho. Those ones, just get the gari and sugar, and you just quickly eat the food. Like, yeah, because there's nothing rich about the food. You don't want to have it stay too much. And those times is towards the end of a term that you realize that rock pocho is very consistent. So when the term is almost ending, so like a week, exam week, 3 days to the end of the that one, everyone's nido is finished, Milo is finished. So when you just get the gari, you just, you know. But many times you could always stay on a gari that is rich. And many times it's very nutritious. So that's richly. It does not lack any of the nutrients. Now, God's word is supposed to dwell in us richly. Right? It means that it's supposed to be so very well grounded on the inside of us. It should not lack any nutrients. In fact, it should be so very much present that it's providing and producing and guarding and instructing all our lives. But you see, sometimes the believer chooses to be rockpocho than rich. So look at how, you know, a quiet time could help with this attitude. So those of you who still need to be convinced about having a quiet time, you need to repent. So we're going to be looking at, you know, some shallowness in the Christian world, and then how in that the continuous practice of a quiet time can get you rich, right? Or moving deeper and doing more than you ordinarily would. So number one signs of the shallowness of a Christian is a lack of the knowledge of the scriptures. So a lack of the knowledge of scriptures. So when you do not know what the Bible says, and every time we have to be giving it to you, so let's open to Elijah chapter 1 verse 2. And then the whole church, everybody is, Elijah. Sorry, Matthew chapter 29. We open is like we can't find Matthew 29. Because we can see only 28. So, sorry. Samson chapter. Chapter 2 verse 1. So many times you will not have the knowledge of what the scriptures are saying. You say in Matthew chapter 1 verse 2, God says that God helps those who help themselves. You are God helps those who help themselves. We can't find it in the Bible. It's not a Bible verse. Say, hey, I never knew it was my Bible verse. I always thought it was a Bible verse. That's because you always, or you were rich in some knowledge or something. So, the Bible actually has to be studied. And that's when having a quiet time comes in. So, signs of some of the shallowness of a Christian that, a quiet time will help, is that it will help with giving you all the knowledge that you need as you study the scriptures. Many times, you know, the believer is swayed by sensationalism. You know, Paul, in his writing to the church in Ephesus, in the 4th chapter, 11th verse, tells us how he gave some apostles, prophets, evangelists, pastors, and teachers, the equipment of the saints, right? Perfecting of the saints for the work of a ministry, so that we will henceforth not be tossed to and fro by every wind of doctrine. So many times we're very sensational. Have you seen that? It's like something happens and everybody's behind it. And another thing happens, everyone is behind it. Another thing happens, everyone is behind it. So you get to realize that, you know, we are just interested in being sensational. I've never, or, you know, quite recently, I've got to realize that real true ministry, it's not something that you just spike up at a time. Say, oh, wow, the man of God of the moment. No, it means that in some moments to come, you're not going to be a man of God. But you're going to be a man of God for all seasons. And that's the kind of ministry that I'm trusting us to build as a ministry. It's not just that we just pop up and then everybody's saying, wow, what's happening here? And then a few years' time, it wanes or it wanes. That's why you see that I'm not in a hurry. No, it's for every season. And there is steady growth in every season. Have you seen that there are sometimes they say, oh, a man of God is a voice. And then over time, it's like we can't find him. Where is he? And there are also some men, they never became a voice. There was not a time they became a voice. But their labor spans through every season and every generation. It's like they are quietly working effectively. Bishop Doug is a typical example. There's not a time where you say Bishop Doug has become a voice. He's there for all seasons. I mean, people who are sensational just crown one preacher and they come and go. But you come and go, but he's still there. He's still working. For all seasons, he's consistently consistent. Right? So, those are some of the things. That's what I'm saying. That when you make up your mind to be here as a ministry, make it up very quickly. Yeah. Because some of you, I will now come and tell you that I think you are more concentrated at this church. You should be there instead. Yes, that's what I'll tell you. So that we don't have a conflicting sort of interest in whatever is happening. There should be no conflict of interest. Yeah. I took my time to study on what the church is. And I came to teach it. And I proved to you from the scriptures how that a church is not known by Sunday services. I've taught that, said that over and over again. At evangelism, I remember taking some time to extensively touch on that topic. And I showed you how that in the church, there was not times where the church was just saying, oh no. In fact, the birth of a new church, the Jews had synagogue days where they gather. When the church was actually birthed, it was not in a building. And they didn't meet on Sundays. They didn't meet on Sundays. When we read Philemon, Paul speaks about the church that was in Philemon's house and the churches that were in the houses. And then I've come to tell you that let's not get confused. Sunday is not, that's not, if you don't go to church on Sunday, that's not me, you're not a Christian. No, it doesn't mean so. And I showed you examples of how United Emirates don't normally have churches on Sundays because their Sundays are like Mondays. So there are some countries that will not have effective church on Sunday because church Sunday is like a working day. Then you probably will find somebody saying that pastor is not having us to do church on Sunday, so it's not a church, it's a fellowship. And I try to debunk that mentality of it's not a church, it's a fellowship. It's a full church. We pray every day. We meet for evangelism. Isn't that church? The word of God is taught. We've had camp meetings. And we consistently have long sessions of prayers. What more is that in a church? So you find out that somebody is now very... That's because they probably will not take time to know what God is doing. So there's a bit of sensationalism in there. Those who are actually disciples, those who actually follow me, they don't have anything to do with any church on Sunday. And I'm not confused about those who actually... I'm not a blind leader. I'm not a blind leader. Yeah, that's the thing. Until we can actually grow into having those services. It's not that we must have it. Many churches on their commencements will have Sunday rather than morning, will have it in the afternoon or in the evening. And that's why I love, for example, these churches. That there's a church that has service at 12 p.m., 1 p.m. And it's a church, full-blown church. Even, how do you call it, First Love, 12 p.m. So you find out that there is a conflict, sort of like an interest in what is happening. You don't call it a church, but when you come to learn what we learn, you are able to explain to people who go to church on Sunday morning, what is the true essence of church? Why do we have church in the first place? So many times people are just sensational. And when you try to teach them something, they might say, no, it's not ever. But if you pay close attention, you would listen to what your leader is saying. Right? Yes, you will listen to what your leader is saying. We pray every day. In fact, we pray twice a day. How many supposed traditional churches have time to pray twice in a day? And I'm saying we're going to increase it steadily to four times in a day. So what are you talking about? Some of you understood the gospel much more, became fervent in ministry. From a supposed church that is a fellowship. And you went to church and you never had any knowledge. So what exactly is church? So I tend to look away from anybody that tries to pressure me into taking a step. I don't do that. So when I see that, that's what I'm saying. Some of you, I have to tell you that, no, focus on that, what you are doing. Don't be around. So we are very sure where you are. We don't waste a lot of time. Jesus. So many of the times, paying attention to a quiet time is going to help your knowledge of the scriptures. And it's going to reduce a lot of sensationalism. If we as a people say, Sunday we are very busy, let's have our church on Tuesday in the morning. And if we all are present and we agree, Tuesday morning becomes the day of becoming, of going to church. That's all. Let's not try to traditionalize and box everything, that everything should happen the same way. Yeah. And what I'm telling you, I, at a point in time, heard Bishop Dark say the same thing. And he said that the church today has to learn to be versatile. Yeah. Still with its culture, still with its... But it has to learn to scheme out and plot out ways. And I'm told in, you know, that's what I'm saying. Let me not even go into so much details. Yeah. Some people go to church on Saturday at First Love in the morning, and it's church. They don't have time for Sunday because Sunday they are going to be traveling, or Sunday they are going to be doing something. So you will learn to trust what is happening. And I find that very wonderful. Yeah, I find that very wonderful. I find that very dynamically wonderful. So as we spend more time, we're going to have a greater knowledge of the scriptures. So let's not have, this is something that happened, I'm here. You see that? So a lack of knowledge of the scriptures is a shallowness in Christianity, and quiet times are going to help with that. Number two, your inability to quote or speak as though the scriptures were in your heart. So as you have a quiet time, see, you're going to be able to start making references to what the scriptures are saying. And these are very basic of every believer who spends time with the Word. They will be able to say something that sounds like the Word of God. And that's what a quiet time will help you do. It's going to help you keep the Word of God in your heart. Today, when we say 2 Corinthians 5:17, Romans 6:23, John 3:17, somebody who has had a consistent quiet time will be able to produce what is said in these parts of the Bible. So as you spend more time in the Word, you'll be able to say what God wants you to say. And you'll be able to quote what He's written. When Jesus met the devil, or had a discourse with the devil, He always kept on making references to the fact that it was written. And it is written, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds forth from the mouth of God. It is written. So you must also be able to say that it is written. 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 And that's how when the devil comes, you're able to shut him up. You don't shut the devil up with, hey, Abel, Jesus' name, yay, yay. No. In fact, you realize in the Gospels, in this particular story, how that the devil was able to quote the scriptures also. He was able to quote it also. But then Jesus has to reply within the right context of what he was quoting. So having a quiet time will help you. It's going to help you become like this. And you can say, somebody is talking to you, say something wrong. And then you just say, oh, excuse me, but you know, the Word of God says, and then you start to speak like it. Yeah, you start to speak the Word of God. The Word of God says, and then you start to speak it. Start to say what the Word says. But if you don't have a quiet time, you're not going to be able to. Some people can tell jokes. They can tell you funny jokes. But if you ask them to tell you a scripture, they can't tell you. Yes. So when you have a quiet time, you're going to realize that this is going to start helping. It's going to start helping you. Everybody must be able to quote in your preaching. Know a few scriptures from the start. Start knowing some very important scriptures. Know how to have some very important scriptures that you fall on. So that when the devil starts knocking at your door, those words are what will keep you. I woke up some time ago, never shared this story with you, and I was in pain. A lot of pain in my tummy. So I was like, this is not happening. I couldn't even stand. I had to bend, walk quietly into the bathroom. And when I took off my shirt and I looked on my tummy, I saw a bulge, like my tummy had bulged. I said, what's this? You know, couldn't even stand. It was like a bump in the tummy. Yeah. It was at that scene, not too far away. I remember that night, Emilia had led a prayer session on pastor's health. She was very timely. Yeah, I knew she was led by God's Spirit to have lifted that prayer. Yeah, it was just before that time. She lifted a few days later than it happened. Yeah. So I said, wow, what's this? I remember standing in the bathroom. That's why when I lay hands on someone, I'm shocked when nothing happens. I'm actually expecting something to happen because I've seen it happen on myself 1,000 times. Yeah. And I put my hand there in the pain. And I said, in Jesus' name, all organs are lining back to their rightful states and place. In Jesus' name. And I just stood on God's word of faith that says you will lay hands on the sick and they'll be healed. And I quoted the scripture and I said, in Jesus' name, everything in this rightful place. Before my eyes, I could see the things flowing. And things were out before my eyes. Not somebody told me. Yeah, not somebody told me. I went to somebody's room last week for evangelism. The girl's eyes had been, had been shifted off from her socket. So when she turns in a certain manner, you can literally see the eye socket slip into the socket. And it was very uncomfortable. And right there in the room, I remember laying hands on it just last week. But I didn't make any testimony out. I just knew that was going to happen. And then when my hand was taken off a few minutes later, I looked at the thing. It wasn't there. I said, shame my eyes will pain me. Check again whether what I'm seeing is true or not. Yeah. And she checked. She said, my God. She says, it's gone. She said, let me show you. Then she showed me the videos of how actually the thing was that I was seeing. And that was how she was healed. So the same approach, it is written. And everything went back to its rightful place. Everything. In fact, I walked out of that bathroom, I said, my God. My God, the pain was gone totally. I'm not talking about like I could still, it was gone. Then I remembered a testimony a lady shared with me at UDS, and I said, these things are really true. Sometimes you sit there and think that these things are lies, they're just making it up. It's not true, it's not a makeup, it's a reality. It's a reality. It is written. It is written something to happen. Are you listening? Yeah, that's what God's word says. I literally saw the body. It just moved and it was just moving. And it pop. And everything was normal. Everything was normal. I said, what? So it is written. Take the word of God seriously. But you can't do it when you don't spend times where you actually read, meditate, ponder, cause your beliefs to be engrafted in the word of God. Another sign of shallowness is your inability to pray for at least 1 hour a day. Yeah, 1 hour. Hey, Pastor. Pastor. So we are tired, we just wanna Pastor. Hey, pray for 1 hour. Hey. You're
shallow. You're exhibiting some signs of being shallow.
You must be able to spend time with God. And you must be able to pray. Jesus Christ expected his disciples to stay with him for at least 1 hour. So we always want to do anything at least 1 hour.
at least 1 hour. 1 hour should be something that you grow into. Now, if you've not started with an hour, at least 20 minutes into 30, into 40, into 50, then at least 1 hour. You build steadily into it. At least 1 hour. Another inability of you being shy is that you can't lead and teach after being taught for at least 2 years. You can't teach or preach after being taught for at least 2 years. 1 year, you should be able to bring some. I mean, 1 year is even, if it's even long. Yeah. Paul, in Hebrews chapter 5, verse 12, makes a very interesting confrontation. He says, "For when, for the time ye ought to be teachers, ye have need that one teach you again, which be the first principles of the oracles of God, and are become such as have need of milk and not of strong meat." Eh? So, you should have been a teacher by now. Yeah. You should have been a teacher by now, if you were taking it seriously. But still, we have to catch you and still be giving you milk. And even the milk, we have to defer you. Oh, hey, baby milk. Baby, before you now actually take the milk you're supposed to take. No. Am I still with you? Or the network is gone again? All right. So, your inability to lead and to teach after being a Christian for at least 2 years. So after someone has been a believer for some time, he is expected to share the things he has received. 2 years, you are supposed to be a teacher. 2 years, that's what Paul is saying. He was from 5 to 5 verse 12. Not to be teachers. We still have to be following you. Following you. Calling you. Where have you been? How are you doing? What are you doing? A Christian. You don't spend time with the Lord. That's why we still have to be following you. If you do, you are the one now going to be following and chasing me. And chasing your teachers. And chasing the people who are helping you. Yeah, if you do. The website is there. You don't go to listen to the sermon. So why then do we have the website? Why then do we have this website? And you are listening to all kind of things. From Apostle A to Prophet B to Evangelist C. And you don't know what is on the website. Something that was created for you. Some of you are following me and you are still listening to a lot of people all around. You're mixing things. Only waiting for confusion to happen. And that's what happens when you don't know the voice of your shepherd. Because you just listen to everything. You have to learn to listen to the messages. Are you listening? I don't encourage my disciple listening to other people. I don't encourage it. So if you think I encourage it, I don't encourage it. You're supposed to listen to your teacher, not to somebody else's teacher. You say, Pastor, please, the messages are few. You're very not serious. So you're supposed to be listening to the messages. Make use of the websites. Listen to them. Feed on them. Listen to the teachings. Play it in your rooms. And listen to them over and over again. Somebody say, "Hey, Pastor, please, we have a website." Yes, we do. Yes, we do. So ask for it. Pastor says, "We have a website." The website is not just there for decoration's sake. It was created with a purpose. And that's why I, for one, don't encourage you people sharing links to the website or your status. No, it was for you. It's for you. And for your disciples. a disciple group told me that they had been listening to the website, the messages on the website. So they said, this week we are listening to this. And I was impressed. Yes. That's what you are supposed to be doing. We're listening to this. We're here. We're paying attention to this. I told you to go and listen to what it means to follow track 5. Some of you have not listened to it. I'm very sure. Because people are always people everywhere. But you shouldn't be like that. We should be different. When an instruction is given, make sure you heed to those instructions. Make sure you heed to those instructions. I don't want to ask, because if I ask, I'll be disappointed. But you are being raised to be responsible believers and Christians. Amen. Yes. So make use of the websites. Listen to them. Recommend them to your disciples. Make sure that you listen to them. So all of these shallowness and, you know, traits are going to be shaped with having an effective quiet time. I see you becoming very effective in your walk with God as you practice having an effective quiet time in Jesus' name. You're becoming more effective, more effective, more effective with your quiet times. And you're becoming more effective in your Christian walk as you follow the Lord, as you follow the Lord, as you follow the Lord, as you follow the Lord. As you follow the Lord. Christianity becoming more effective. Your work and your service in the ministry, it becomes more effective in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you that we're growing effectively. We're growing effective in our walk with God, which is our walk with you. We also thank you, Lord Jesus, that during our quiet times, the eyes of our understandings are enlightened in the knowledge of you. And the spirit of wisdom and revelation is made available to us. We thank you, Lord, that you have granted us this that we pray. Thank you for great grace that you continually shower and that you pour on our lives. Lord, help everybody who is still struggling to have a quiet time as they make up their mind and have a very resolute mind on having an effective quiet time with you. We thank you, Lord Jesus, for all that you do. Thank you. In Jesus' name, amen.